Pastor Mai, hello and welcome to this local authority merger special episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. Well, as Arbury and Rushen commissioners investigate a possible union, we look at the experience of Laxey, Lonnon and Mackled, which merged to form Garth in 2015. And are mergers a sign of positive government-led reform or complete inaction on the Department of Infrastructure's fault? Well, we hear from two opposing views in the Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer and Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper. Public support is key to a successful merger, says a commissioner who played a role in the creation of the District of Garth in 2015. Nigel Dobson was part of the Lonnon Board, which agreed to join counterparts in Laxey and Mackled to form the new authority. His comments come, of course, as the rural parishes of Arbury and Rushen are exploring the idea of uniting into a single body and are asking ratepayers for their views on the possible union. Options include either an administrative merger or a full amalgamation to create a new authority. Well, I asked Mr. Dobson to talk about his experience of a merger and explain how the Garth initiative came about.
I suppose about 14, 15 years ago, the three authorities first started talking and communicating with each other. And there was benefit at that time in having a joint refuge contract. So we formed a subcommittee called the Garth Initiative, which basically was just to manage that refuge contract. But as we got talking over the years, we realised that lots of other things that we could perhaps do together if we were a single authority, with cost benefits to the ratepayers. And took some time, but we eventually got there.
So what was the relationship like with the three sets of commissioners before the initiative?
I think if you go back 20 years, people will say, well, you know, the commissioners from Mackled won't talk to the commissioners from Laxey, and Laxey won't talk to Lonnon. And they were three separate authorities with separate identities, one sometimes not particularly cooperating as perhaps they should. As I say, with the first refuge contract, that started to ease, and we suddenly realised we're not all nasty people trying to nick somebody else's patch. You know, we're all in a rural situation, if you like. We're all trying to get the best service for the ratepayer.
So what convinced those in the respective authorities that were suspicious of the move that it was going to be a good thing?
I think as much as anything, the public. We had a public meeting many years ago and sort of got a general feel, and that was a bit all over the place. And then we had various other meetings as the years went on. It was a lengthy process. But by the time we got to, well, shall we really do this and go and ask the public if they wanted to do it, we had requisition meetings in Laxey, Lonnon and Mackled. And at all the meetings, the public would say, yeah, go for it. You know, and if you get the public on side, then the elected officials will, in the main, come on side too. You know,
So how did you assuage those who had fears about losing identity or control over their patch?
I think that was a big thing. A lot of people were saying, well, hang on, we're Lonnon, you know, we're not Laxey. If we become one authority, we'll lose our Lonnon-ness, if you like. And so the agreement we came to was that we have three wards within the authority, and that rather than elect members across the authority, we'd elect them in those wards. So the current 9-man board has three members who are representatives of Lonnon, three members who are representative of Mackled, and three from Laxey. So although we work as the Garth authority for the bigger issues, if there's an issue with a play area in Lonnon or the beach in Laxey or the dune in Mackled, then there's a local representative you can go to. So yes, we're a bigger single authority, but we've kept the identity through the wards.
Naturally, sometimes the fear might be, especially for the rural authorities in that case, that their rates would go up to help service Laxey, which is the bigger authority. What happened there? Did you see a cost benefit? Did people's rates go up or down?
The authority as a whole has saved money. There's no query or question about that. The rates in Mackled and Lonnon were lower than the rates in Laxey, but we've agreed over a 5-year period to an equalisation of rates process. That's resulted in a slight increase for Lonnon and Mackled and a decrease for the people of Laxey. But the overall rate income for the authority, for the first 3 years, we had no rate increase at all, and we built our reserves, and it was a below inflation rate increase this year. So if you compare the rate performance of Garth to the rest of the island, we compare very favourably because of the cost savings we've had. And in addition, we're providing more services. The first to go to the department and say, well, look, we'll look after some footpaths, we'll look after hedges, we'll look after this, that and the other, and we've taken on extra duties, so we're doing more and costing less.
And when we look at the success of the initiative, what would you say have been, well, would you call it a success? You've worked in it as the first chair of it. Did you say it all went smoothly? Were there teething problems?
Surprisingly few. I suppose the beauty was that there used to be 15 commissioners. Not all of them were in favour of the merger, it would be fair to say. And we reduced down to 9 when the new board came. And the commissioners who weren't keen on the merger didn't stand. And so by the time we actually got to the first meeting of the new authority, we got 9 people who were signed on for GARF. And so it's been a fairly harmonious board. I mean, we have our disagreements from time to time. You get 9 people in a room, you will do. But generally, it's a very harmonious board, and we work well together.
And would you say issues from Lonnon and Mackled get as fair a hearing or as regular a hearing as Laxey in the board, around the boardroom?
Oh, yes. we have members from Mackled. I'm a member for Lonnon. Myself and my 2 Lonnon colleagues, if we hear of an issue, bring it up. And I was chair for the first 3 years, so Lonnon certainly wasn't neglected during my time. And I don't think Mackled or Laxey were either. Laxey will always be highlighted, I suppose, because it's a denser population area and the more facilities there. But Mackled and Lonnon certainly are not being neglected.
The GARF initiative, would it have worked had it been imposed upon you by central government?
I don't think so. I think the problem central government has is it draws its lines on its maps, the odd 4+1 they put forward a decade ago. You've got to take the people with you. If the people don't want it, it ain't going to work. Because if you've got a pile of commissioners saying, yes, we're going to force this through, and you force it through and the people don't like it, then they're just going to kick you out, which is right and proper. So I think public consultation is very important, showing what the cost benefits are, showing how services can be improved. Take the people with you. That's the way we felt it should be done.
Do you think it has to be organic, though, rather than a wholesale restructure of all local authorities? Do you think it has to come from, like you said, the people and the local authorities themselves?
I think it does. From purely a personal point of view, I would encourage other smaller authorities to look at the neighbours and see who they can work with, because it is more efficient. It does save costs. Our refuge contract is one of the cheapest on the island, and yet our patch is the biggest single local authority patch on the island. So we cover a huge area, but per household we're very efficient. I think you have to have the political will. That has to come from the local commissioners, but I don't think they should rule it out just for historic purposes. But yeah, from the ground up rather than from the top down, I think.
And there are those that say we have far too many local authorities on the island and they all need to be scrapped and replaced with bigger, the 4+1 or the 5, whatever you want to call it. What's your view on that? Is there any substance to that argument?
It is and it isn't, isn't it? Yeah, for a small island, we do have a lot of local authorities. But we also have a very tight-knit community, and we're fortunate that we have a lot of people who are prepared to stand for these positions. And if people want to get involved in their own community, then, hey, power to their elbow. Providing they're supplying a good service at a decent price, I don't see how a 4+1 kind of solution could improve the services that we provide in GARF or could improve the costs that we provide in GARF. I accept there may be some things that they can do. Government could perhaps hand more duties down to a local authorities if they were bigger. But the services we provide, I don't see how going 4+1 or similar would improve it for the man in the street.
Do you have any advice for commissioners in Arbury and Rushen moving into the exploration of a merger? What would it be?
Keep in touch with your public. I believe they've sent a mail shot out recently. Organise a public meeting.
Because I think they have got them in the offing.
Take the public with you. Let them know what you're doing. Be open and honest about it all the time, which I'm sure they will be. I know some of the guys on those boards. I'm sure they'll do it in the right way. But yeah, just bring the public with you.
The former chairman of GARF Commissioners and current GARF Commissioner, Nigel Dobson, there. Well, the Infrastructure Minister has welcomed this proposition of a possible merger between these two rural parish local authorities in the south. Ray Harmer says he's pleased commissioners are working together to improve the delivery of services and says it forms part of an organic process of local authority transition. He spoke to me.
It's a really positive move, I think, really something, and it's really good that it's come from the local authorities themselves And no, it's a really positive move, because I think it's important people working together and seeing how they can do things better together is a really positive thing.
You mentioned there it's good that it came from the local authorities, not dictated by the department or somebody else. Well, why is that important?
Because I think things that are dictated by the department or central government don't work ultimately. It has to be from the people, if you like, for the people. And when we're sort of just designating structures, there isn't the buy-in, there isn't the acceptance, and what you end up with is generally something that doesn't work and it fails. And you can see there's a number of examples in many other jurisdictions where that's happened. So actually getting teams together that work together, that can see synergies is really important.
Now, the members who were interviewed on Manx Radio from the respective commissioners both talked about how smaller government can often be smarter, can have more efficiencies. I'd just like to ask, what's your view on that? Is smaller and smarter better, or bigger better, when it comes to local authorities?
I think it's understanding where you have those synergies. So I fully support smaller, smarter as a general principle, and I support the principle of keeping things simple. Often when you try and combine things that are very complicated, you actually add in cost. So what you've got to do things, so where there's obvious things that you can do well together, you do them, but you don't try and do everything across the whole structure together. And this is what we found in our local authority transition, because we've really focused around services. So for example, shared housing lists. So it doesn't mean you have to have all the complexity of legal documents and so forth, but you get the important win, and that is that people are housed quicker. So if you focus on outcomes and what you can achieve, that is much better than trying to worry too much about structure.
Do you think that also aids you, that the manner in which you're going about this transition, because you aren't asking all local authorities to get round the table and agree on something? Because in the past that had been a criticism of any major schemes, is they required everybody to buy into something, which realistically wasn't going to happen.
And it's exactly right, because everybody would be at different speeds and at different stages of development. You saw that in Garth. You saw the fact that some local authorities are saying we need to reduce our numbers because we want to work more smaller and smarter. And in Arbury's and Russian's case, there's obvious ways, because they're both more rural, that they have those synergies that naturally fit together quite easily. So I think it's a really positive thing. And like I say, it's good that it's come from them.
Just on the transition more generally, is a downside of having organic transition is that eventually there's no consensus on some sort of common goals moving beyond that.
But you see, again, it's coming back on outcomes. It's about what are we trying to achieve. So if you take on housing, what are we trying to achieve is people house better and more quickly. And that's actually been achieved through very simple, straightforward, easy things that haven't been complicated. Mm. We're now looking at the same thing with waste. And the key thing around waste is better recycling, better talk about single-use plastics, those kind of things. How can we work better together as a group? And when you have very simple vision and very simple ideas, then it's much easier to achieve those. If we get bogged down, as you were saying, trying to get 22 authorities to agree on absolutely every detail, there's no need to do that. And in any case, we're not achieving what we are setting out to achieve.
In the case of housing, the shared lists have been hailed as a great success, but there are authorities who haven't yet signed up to it, well, one in particular. But does there come a point where the organic transition can only take you so far, though, if there are those who will try and resist it at every stage?
Well, there are, and what I would at this point say, there is a local authority election in April next year, and this is a fantastic opportunity for people to stand and say, look, you know, we've seen the benefits in other local authorities, we'd like to do the same here. And so this is a good part of, a vital part of democracies. Local authorities, in my view, are incredibly important. It's where I started in sort of more political life, but they're really, really important. And they're part of the community, and they deal with all of the sort of the events and all of the things that really touch people's lives on a daily basis. So the local authority elections are really a good time to sort of influence your community.
Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. An MHK claims the Infrastructure Minister has done nothing to progress local authority reform during the Quayle administration. Laurie Hooper says Ray Harmer has taken a back seat on this subject and shown no willingness to drive reform on issues like housing at local level. As we heard earlier, Mr. Harmer praised moves by Arbery and Rushen to explore a merger, calling it part, as he says, of the organic transition of local authorities. Well, Mr. Hooper told me he remains unconvinced by some aspects of this approach.
I think if you're looking at structure, looking at the number of local authorities, then organic reform is kind of the way to go. It's the only way we can go. But really, local authority reform is more about services. It's about making sure the right services are delivered at the right level. And so things that should be delivered locally are delivered locally. Things that should be delivered nationally are delivered nationally. And I think over the last 3 years, we haven't really seen any progress, actually. And when the minister's been challenged directly to take a grip of it, his response has always been, I'd rather not. I'd rather let the authorities come along willingly. And I think if you take housing, for example, to an extent, that's worked, but there are a couple of holdouts to do with the shared waiting lists. And you've reached a point now where 95% of the island is on these shared waiting lists, but there's a number of authorities that aren't playing ball. I think it's either one or two that really aren't involved. And at some point, the minister has to stand up and say, right, we know that shared waiting lists work. We know that they're really beneficial for everywhere else on the Isle of Man. So now we're going to make sure that everyone has the opportunity. And I think that's where the lack of direction and drive is coming from. It's just he's more than happy, I think, to sit back and let local authorities take the lead when it comes to structural reform, which is fine, but actually local authorities can't take on new services themselves. That has to be led from the top.
But isn't the one way not to encourage that last one or two authorities that are holding out on shared housing, for example, to sign up, the one way not to do it is to force them to do it? Surely that would cause them to really close the hatches down and say, no, we're not going to do that.
Again, this is the kind of the point, is that when you get to a tipping point, really, where you say, actually, nearly everyone's on board, so now we're going to go and push over the final hurdle. And I think at some point you have to recognise when you've reached that tipping point and say, right, we know this works. You know, most people have come on board. And so now the next step is to do this naturally. I mean, housing is a really good example of where the department has just shown absolutely no willingness at all to try and really drive service reform. I mean, the department currently provides housing itself and regulates housing to an extent. And so it's doing the gamekeeper and poacher role for both, which doesn't really work. And so as part of the local authority transition, it's been suggested for some time that they divest themselves of their housing stock and say, actually, they shouldn't be running housing themselves. This has been suggested a number of times over the years, and the department's response has been to launch a trial out in Peel and give Peel the responsibility for run 20 of their houses. That's a really, really surreal approach. Peel commissioners run 300 or so of their own properties, and from what I can tell, they run them pretty well. But the department isn't confident enough to say, well, you can also take over our properties permanently. We have to do a two-year trial with a small number of them. And the same goes for Ramsey and Douglas and everywhere else on the Isle of Man. Everyone runs housing in their own way. And really, why is the Department of Infrastructure not just turned around and said, we know that we shouldn't be running and regulating the service, so we're going to divest ourselves of the running to people that already know how to run a housing service, which is the local authorities? It's almost ready-made, and yet the department has taken really no action at all to split this function off themselves. They're more than happy to try and corporatise the airport, where it's something that came out of the blue, but when it comes to something quite sensible, like housing, they've been pushing it for years to say, let's actually separate operation and policy, which is what they're talking about now. They're just not interested.
So is that particular move fundamental to local authority reform? Do you think the housing element of that with the department?
Again, I think it probably is. I think it comes down to services. So if you were to push all the housing out to local authorities, for example, you'd give the local authorities themselves a choice saying, do you want to run this yourself or do you want to come up with your own way of doing it? And I think the North is a really good example of how local authority reform works and also isn't necessary in some cases. So that we've got lots of small parishes in the North that individually are probably too small to run any big services themselves. And so what they've done, quite sensibly, is say, well, let's work together. So the Northern Refuge Board works really well together. We have a Northern Housing Board that runs the sheltered housing, and actually these kind of collaborative approaches work. And so is there really a need then to push for more structural reform of local authorities? I'm not sure there is. I think that'll happen naturally, organically, as we make sure that services are in the right place. Some local authorities will say, yes, we can easily provide these services ourselves at a good cost to the ratepayer. And some local authorities will say, actually, we need to merge, or we need to work together in partnerships, or what have you. But it gives the local authorities then the opportunity to develop as they want to develop, providing services that are of value to their ratepayers. Whereas at the moment, what we're really seeing is structural reform, which might save a little bit of money, but isn't really doing a lot to improve service provision across the island.
So is there an issue with duplication in that local authorities and government often provide the same sort of things in different ways?
I think there is, and again, that's quite inconsistent across the island as well. So there are some local authorities that do things that other local authorities don't do. So if you're living in one part of the island, you call your local authority to have something sorted, but in another part of the island, it's central government. And building control is a good example of this. The government does building control of the whole island, apart from Douglas and Onchan. So if you're living in Douglas, you're actually paying twice for building control, because you're paying the government tax, and part of that's going towards central government's building control, but you're also paying for some rates to go towards it as well. And that might be a really good way of doing things. It might work really well. But the point is, the Department of Infrastructure hasn't actually taken a step back and said, actually, what services should we be doing centrally? Which services should we be doing locally? How can we help the local authority system evolve into something that actually works a lot better? And I think for years we've been too hung up on how many local authorities we have, when really the key issue should be, what services do we want from our local authorities? What services do we want from government? And what's the best way of providing those, and what's the best way of paying for them?
Do you think there should be then a further transfer of functions? I know we had hedge cutting, gully emptying, street sweeping. What should come next?
If you're transferring new functions over, the key thing is you have to transfer the resources that go with it. So you can't just turn around and say, local authorities, now you're responsible for everything, without actually saying, we're going to help you fund that in some way. We're going to help the resources with that. Housing should be quite straightforward, actually, because, like I say, the local authorities already run their own housing stocks. So simply saying, here's an extra 10, 15, 20 houses isn't really going to break the bank. I'm not sure what services should come next. I think the first thing really the department needs to do is make sure that the same services are being provided at the same level across the island, because I think even with things like hedge cutting and gully emptying and street sweeping, I'm not even sure that's consistent across the island. From memory, that was a voluntary, you can take it up if you want to, but you don't have to kind of approach. And again, that's resulting in really very piecemeal, very patchwork kind of services being provided. And I'm not convinced that's the right way forward. I think someone needs to take a strategic look at this and say, what is the right thing for the island from a service delivery perspective? I'm not really talking about the number of authorities, that's a separate question, but from a service delivery, is it better that these services are provided locally, where people are accountable locally to their ratepayers through their elected commissioners, or is it better these services are provided at a national level? And then, of course, how do we fund one or the other? And I think that conversation hasn't happened, primarily because the impression I'm getting from the Department of Infrastructure and from the Minister is they're not really that invested in making this change happen.
Can you arrive at a situation sometimes where neither the local authority nor the department wants to spend money doing a certain job or fulfilling a certain service, which is not a service to the rate or the taxpayer?
Absolutely. I think a good example of that is the water wheel in Gradle Glen, where it was owned by a government department, but leased by the commissioners or vice versa. But nobody really wanted to spend money fixing it up. And I think you do run the risk of that, where you're going down this kind of voluntary approach. Actually, who is responsible for doing things? Whereas if there's a very clear thing that everyone can understand, then at least the public know, well, if that service isn't being delivered, I can pick up the phone to my local commissioner and say, excuse me, why are you not cleaning the streets, or why are you not emptying the gullies? This is a commissioner's responsibility. Or they can pick up the phone to their local MHK or to the department and say, why are you not cleaning the streets? Why are you not emptying the gullies? But at the moment, because it is a bit mismatch, a bit patchworky, I mean, I find I spend a lot of my time dealing with local authority related issues because people aren't really sure who delivers what services. And I don't think that confusion helps. I don't think it helps people be accountable. I don't think it helps provide good value. And I really think, like I said, there needs to be a proper strategic look at which services are best placed where. And that can only come from the department.
What does the Programme for Government have to say about local authority transition?
Very little, from memory.
With that in mind, can you blame the minister for this not being top of his agenda?
Absolutely. The Programme for Government has been developed by the government. It's a government programme. So if the minister was serious about local authority transition, he would have some actions in there, rather than just, I think they produced a review into how things have gone so far, which was predominantly a history lesson, really. This is what's happened over the last 100 years. If he was serious about local authority transition, he would have actions in there. He would have devolve housing to local authorities. He'd have review services that are provided nationally and locally, and decide which ones need to be transferred where.
But when you were helping create that document, did you champion those things?
I think helping create that document is a very strong phrase. I think Timor members were...
That's what we're told.
Timor members were engaged. That's true. Whether how much we were listened to, I don't know, especially on the second and third versions as they're coming out. I think there's been a lot less interest, really, as it's been developed, because we can all see that even the things in the Programme for Government aren't really committed to doing quite often, so their timelines aren't clear or they're being missed. There are still some actions that don't have assigned deadlines, don't have assigned political leads. How serious is government about delivering the Programme for Government when they can't even prioritise the things that are in it?
When you were getting elected, how many people spoke to you about local authority reform? how much of an issue was it? Because a lot of people say local authority reform is a vote loser because you will have commissioners, members of the community going to you, why are you wanting to tamper with this? We're happy with the way things are. Don't touch it.
Absolutely. And that's the challenge we've got, is whenever people talk about local authority reform, immediately you start talking about the number of authorities and structure. You start talking about, well, should we merge them or should we disband them? And actually, it's not about that. It really isn't. And like I say, the north of the island is a really good example of how it works really well, because you have authorities there that provide some services themselves and some services jointly. No one has turned around to the northern authorities and said, you can only work together if you merge. That would be nonsense. So it's, when you talk about local authority reform, with, at least when I try and talk about it with people, I tend to talk about service delivery and say, actually, where do you want your services to be delivered? Do you think that if the local commissioners had some responsibility, for example, for enforcing disabled parking bays, would that help? Because then you've got the town warden, who's also there in the town all the time, as opposed to a parking controller that maybe comes up from Douglas once a month. So if you talk about it in terms of services, people do engage. Actually, yeah, that, you know, we should be looking at what's the best way, the cheapest way sometimes, the most efficient way of providing these services. But I think you're absolutely right. When you're talking about how many local authorities we should have, that really isn't a conversation for a national government. I think if the commissioners decide that they want to merge, and if the ratepayers want that to happen, it should happen. It shouldn't really be national government directing the structure of local authorities necessarily.
Well, there are 2 years left till the next election. Do you think we'll see the transition that you're hoping for in the next 2 years or under this administration?
No, I really don't, actually. I think for the last 3 years I've been pushing the Department of Infrastructure to develop a housing strategy, and it was only very recently I got a commitment out of them to produce something by the end of this year. Do I think that the Department of Infrastructure are taking the idea of local service delivery seriously, about saying what services can we provide locally and how can we make that more efficient? How can we support local authorities to make their service delivery better? I really am not convinced that we're going to see a lot of that in the next 2 years.
Ramsay MHK, Laurie Hooper. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this episode online as a podcast via the Manx Radio website, also via Spotify. But for now, Gurumayu and goodbye.